Amen. Well, I certainly appreciate this opportunity to share these things with you. Had a great time yesterday. I trust you did and will receive it into your hearts, into your life. That personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing every day in your life, I trust. This morning, I want to, open to Proverbs chapter 4. Take your Bibles and turn there if you would. Proverbs chapter 4, and I just want to read the first seven verses. We could even preach just on this. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend unto no understanding. For to give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, many things we want to cover this morning. But, oh dear God, I pray that through the power of thy Holy Spirit, you might speak. Again, hide me behind your cross, Father. May I not be seen, but may you be lifted up in all things, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Now bless this day, I pray, this message. Speak, Lord, and work through us that your name might be glorified. We'll thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I began yesterday by sharing a little bit of my background. And again, I want to preach a little more on the family. And again, the most responsible person is you in any family relationship. And as I have written on the family and so forth, so many principles in the scriptures we go through, and you can apply them to your own personal family. But as you go through these things, realize always that you can apply them to everybody, okay? Everybody around you, all those four different families are very important to keep that in mind, because that is your witness, okay? Your witness. When my wife and I were dating. I'm dying daily. All right, we're dating. I say that in college, and we knew that we were going to be married, and it was a threat to me. Because I thought, what promises do we have? Now, this is way back. I mean, this is in 67. We got married in 68, okay? And so way back then. And I thought the Lord was going to come a long time ago then. All right. And I thought about getting married and then raising a family. You know, you go and you talk about all these. Are we going to have children? Should we have children? And if we do, the threat in my life was, if I have children, what are the promises? What are the precepts? What is the surety that I will have some children that will turn out godly? It's a real threat, you know. And so I cried out to the Lord, and my wife and I would talk about these things. And by the way, when you date, you talk about those things, all right? The more you get settled before marriage, the less you got to get settled afterwards. All right, on the fifth date, I settled it with my wife, who was going to be boss. And I say that, I mean, I didn't, sounds harsh and so forth, but I wanted to know, did she respect the man as being the head of the house or not? And if she wouldn't have, I would have checked out, okay? I'm just saying, again, going back to truth, what the Bible says. But from her own words, without me even quizzing her, she brought that forth. And I praise God for that. I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wife. But we were talking about these things, and so this was a great threat to me. And I cried out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you've got to show me some principles that makes the difference. How come some pastors keep their children, and some pastors lose their children. Now listen to me. I'm not underestimating the grace of God, the Holy Spirit's leadership, the wooing. The Lord can pick up anybody and use them for his glory. All right? But I truly do believe that there's some principles that we have to get a hold of. Someday you're going to be married, if you aren't already. And someday you're going to probably have some children. And you've got to get some things set in your mind. And it makes all the difference. If you're going to win your children to the Lord, if they're going to get saved, if they're going to grow up to do God's will, so forth. I believe there's some basic things that have to be taught. Not only taught, the child has to catch them. They got to grab hold of it. And those things I want to share with you this morning. And so I was looking for some guarantees. Well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen? I believe that. Some pastors I've heard preach on that and say, well, they'll go astray, but they'll be coming back and so forth. Listen, if you train up a child in the way he should go, now you have to understand the word train. It's not just you going through the motions and showing them what to do and so forth. They are not trained until you see the principle being lived in their life and they are assured of that principle in their life. Understand that? See, and we can train. You can train a horse, or you can train. I've had a couple horses. I have one yet, but you can train a horse and so forth. But or like a child, but when you're not looking, will they do it? You see, it has to do with the heart. It has to do with the heart, and parents have to get a hold of the child's heart, and you can't lose that. All right. I started this morning with the matter of wisdom, and you have to understand, wisdom is the principal thing, and with all thy wisdom, you get understanding, all right? Now, wisdom is the ability, then, to take facts of knowledge and knowing when and how and where to use them. I've looked at a lot of definitions, but that's as simple as I can make it. You can know a lot of knowledge, but you've got to know when to use it, when not to use it. You've got to know where to use it, where not to use it. How to use it, how not to use it. You understand what I'm saying? And wisdom is the principal thing. And in the scriptures, I find that Jesus Christ is that wisdom. All right? So a person has to get saved. But if a child's going to get saved, there's principles that God has given to us that we've got to lay down in their lives. It's very, very important. And so I'm going to share with you what I call God. I cried out to God, and within 6 months, God began to give me these things. I did not grow up in a, per se, a Christian home. After my dad passed away, I found out that he had trusted Christ as his Savior. He lived the life. He never shared it. Okay? I never heard my dad pray, but I know he's saved. Wow. You know, all I'm saying is I sat back and I looked at my own family and tried to say, how come I have three brothers and all my brothers have gotten saved, all my brothers want to do the will of God in their lives, and so do I. Okay. We always went to church in these things, but what made the difference? And so I began to examine this. And there's seven things. I call them the seven basic principles of Christian character. I've got sheets up here again. If you didn't get one yesterday, I brought a couple more if you want that message from yesterday. But I'm going to try to quickly share with you, and that's why I asked for more time, so I'm going to get on with it. The first thing, the most basic principle in your life, characteristic, is truth. Okay? Let me say also that these principles are so important that you teach these to your children. I value these higher than the plan of salvation. I'm not belittling the plan of salvation. I don't mean that at all. The plan of salvation, teach your children, is very important. But these principles will help your child drive them towards God instead of away from God. Now, that's the key. Nobody gets saved without a desire in their heart to get saved. So that desire has to be created, all right? And so the first principle you've got to understand is the matter of truth. Everything rises on truth and everything falls on a lie, okay? everything. And so we've got to understand that precept. We know, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read here quickly, verses 1 through 7. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Let me just stop there for a second, give a little plug here. That arrangement is correct in the scriptures. You read in new translations, they'll have this twisted up, words dropped out and everything. You got the right book is what I'm saying. You see, you can't have a commandment. You can't have statutes without a commandment. The statute is designed to help you keep the commandment. You have state statutes because it's wrong to kill, right? So you got a state statute. When you go around the corner, you go only so fast, right? Those are like statutes. That helps you to keep the commandment here. And then if you don't keep the commandment, then there has to be judgment. Do you see the order right there? There's always order in this book. What a blessed thing to realize. Go on here. That ye might do them in the land, whether ye go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. By the way, you prolong God's days for you on the earth. This idea is something, well, I guess his time was up. Now God knows all things. But there's a lot of people that die ahead of time. Now God knows that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Please understand it. Because the scripture says, you do these things and God's going to give you more days in your life. Over and over you find that in the scriptures. I know people that are dead today because they disobeyed God. It's that simple. All right? And it says here in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that thou mayest that might be well with thee, and that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them. You got to teach your children. Teach them. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt thou talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That means all the time you're going to be teaching principles through your mouth and what you say, through the actions of what you live. You're teaching somebody else. People are watching your life. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. By the way, frontlet. This is like you're taking the word of God right here, and it's right there. It's not blinders. It's not this type of thing. It's right there. It's a frontlet. And it's right there in front of you. And so everything you learn to do in life, it's the frontlet of the word of God. You look through the word of God and do what God would have you to do. That's the idea here. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Now, we need to teach our children. And in my family course here, I start with this principle. There's seven different things that the parent must do. But this is just on teaching in that area. There's four things. You've got to teach them in character traits. You've got to teach them in salvation. You teach them in Christian growth principles. And you've got to teach them in skills. How to use your body for the Lord. Okay, now we're just going to entertain the matter of character traits this morning. And the first one is the matter of truth. First one is the matter of truth. Get that down. All of the rest of character training rests on truth. I brought this today. I made this years ago, and I and you flip these around one at a time, but I'm not going to take time to do that. But if you can just see that, it's on the sheet up here too that you get. Truth. Truth is the basis of all other characteristics. And when you lie, you cheat, and you steal, you're breaking truth. You're breaking truth. When you tell your child to do something and you don't follow through to them with what you said you're going to do, you're lying to them. How many parents have I heard them say, you do that one more time, and they go ahead and they do it. Now, Johnny, I just told you not to do that. And they say it again and again. You know what I'm saying? they are lying to their children. You can't break truth before your children. You can't break truth before your wife. You can't break truth. You don't break truth. You always stand for what is correct, what is right. Speak the truth with love. Okay? We heard that, I think, yesterday, right? And so we can't. Jesus Christ said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? But he is truth. He is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. My Bible says in John chapter 17:17, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? Truth. If you want your child to get saved, you can't break truth. You always tell the truth because you're starting a track record. You're establishing a track record. I say that in that you tell the truth. Well, mom and dad never lie. They've never, you know what? Your child's not going to want to lie. See? Now, hey, every one of us, growing up, you'll go through that, but you got to learn that. We never lie. We always tell the truth. We're honest. You're honest. You go through a checkout line at a store, and one time the clerk gives you too much change or too many dollar bills. The child's there standing beside you. Satan's tempting you, and all of a sudden, well, what they, you know, if they don't realize this, it's not going to hurt them. It goes through your mind, temptation of the devil, and suddenly you just stick it in your pocket. The child sees what's happening. You just broke truth, right? Okay? It's dishonesty. You can't be dishonest with people. You can't be deceptive with people. You can't deceive them. You always speak the truth. Speak the truth with love. You don't steal from people, let alone stealing their character by sometimes the words that you say of dishonesty, a lie about somebody. Do you understand? You don't steal. You don't cheat them. You don't live in hypocrisy. You see, that's what it ends up. So the first thing we need to understand that we've got to teach our children truth. And everything else rests on truth. Now, as we go on here, the next one is the matter of respect of authority. Respect for authority. There has to be respect for authority. Now, what's the key for somebody looking up or honoring somebody else? It's truth. You see, if I lie to you one time, you're not going to respect me. If I tell you the truth and always the truth, you're going to respect me. Your child's going to say, this is my father. And I just want you to know, I love him so much because he always told me the truth. Even when I was wrong, he came and he disciplined me, told me I was wrong. He loves me. You see? You honor somebody that tells the truth. And so respect always has to be built on truth. Always. You want to be respected? You don't have to live in inferiority. God made you the way you are. You can change the things of your character. By the way, you say, you got an ugly looking nose, or I got an ugly looking... That's not going to change. But you know what? If you wear it with a smile and live truth, that nose is going to look beautiful. Got it? All right? And so, I'm saying there's things, yeah, maybe we can't change. I'm sorry, people, I can't change it. You see? I can't change that. Okay? But from my heart, you can see a character. You know, I've seen some awful, ugly people. But when I got to know their heart, they were beautiful. Got it? So beauty is from the heart, people. God made you the way you are for a purpose. It's character that you've got to learn to stand on, and that's what will make you. And so there's got to be truth. There's got to be respect. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 and 3 talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother and so forth. And so you've got to honor your parents, okay? You respect your parents. Parents, you have to earn that respect. You can command it to the age of about 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, but then the child really starts really thinking on their own. They start thinking, they're starting to get a little wisdom and so forth, and suddenly what you've said to them in the past, you can't now just sneak around and Well, yeah, that's what I said, but I really don't practice that. You see what I'm saying? You got to live the truth. You live the truth. And they start seeing that. And you see, parents cause rebellion. Parents cause rebellion. Many times, the parent is the one that causes rebellion because they're trying to get the child to do something that they themselves don't live themselves. Got it? See? And so honor always has to be built on truth. You can command a child through the early years and they'll obey you. You got a bigger whip, and so to speak, you know, you get more pressure on and so forth. But pretty soon, they're going to start rebelling. I've seen it. Listen, I've had two young people in my church in the same family. And they looked like they were doing pretty good, pretty good, pretty good. I even had them at 16, one of these fellows, stand in my pulpit and preach a message at 16. Did a wonderful job. Got to the point he could be on his own, turned on everything, and he is against Christianity, everything. You know why? There's a rebellion, father and mother, within the home, behind the scenes, things were taking place. Wrong things. They lost those two boys. I pray that they get saved yet. I pray. But you see, people can live a big bluff, a big fake, a big lie. And so there has to be respect. There has to be respect towards parents. There has to be respect towards kings. Now, I have a hard time in the situation we are to get to this in our country today because truth is not established in our leadership. And so I have to admit, I have a hard time with that. But lovingly, I've got to pray for those in the leadership at the same time, that they might seek truth and might come to truth and know truth. I have to respect elders, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. I have to respect my employers. I have to respect my employees. I've been on both sides. Amen? There's got to be respect there. Respect, again, is built on what? Truth. Okay? And so there has to be respect. You have to learn to respect your pastor. Again, pastors have to live their life on truth. What a blessing and privilege you have here in this school. There's no other school I know that builds and teaches character more than this school. And I praise God for that. And you need to thank God for it. Amen. And pray for your staff here and pray for those that are teaching and so forth. Look up to them and respect them because their lives stand for truth. Now, upon truth, we've got to keep moving here. And so upon truth, the next thing, you build respect. Upon then respect for authority here, you build moral principles. Moral principles. Now, the Word of God is filled with moral principles. The Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, and so forth. You got the Ten Commandments listed. But there's more. You go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen? And so here, again, here we've got moral principles found in this book. That's why you've got to have a personal time with God. That's why you've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to let God's Word get into you and you into Him and Him and you. And that's a relationship I was trying to establish yesterday. And don't ever forget that. That's the most important thing there, or you will turn from truth. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. There's moral principles here that have to be taught. Listen to me. Moral principles. You've got moral principles that come from the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you don't really have moral principles. There's no basis for it. That's why we're living in the mess we are today. Because people have turned from the Word of God, including right from the get-go in our public schools. They've denied the Word of God. And so downhill. Things have gone ever since. And so moral principles are always established on the Word of God. That's why you read the Word of God with your children. You teach the Word of God to them. You live the Word of God. All these things before them. Moral principles come out. And then we find here, then if there's no moral principles today, with no morals, there's a rejection of God's Word. and we call that humanism. Well, we toss God out of the picture, and so I'll just do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, if I want to do it. That's humanistic. Amen? You know what it's called? That's sin. That's where you started from. Amen? As a sinner. But we've gotten saved. We trusted Christ as our Savior. And so he's come into our hearts, into our lives. But when there's no moral principles, it's those people, they reject the Word of God. And so we got humanism. Then you go beyond that, and you reject even humanism and other people, you get into Satanism, and they're accepting things directly contrary to the Word of God. Exactly the opposite. It's one thing to be humanistic. It's not good. It's bad. But when you read the Word of God and see what it says and go and do exactly the opposite, you're getting into Satanism then. Okay? And that's all around us today, people. You get out here in the jungles. In the jungles, I mean that, out in the world. It's there. You got Wicca. I mean, young girls coming on our bus and so forth here a few years ago, I had one come and says, oh, I'm part of Wicca. Okay? Well, if you don't know, some frown and don't know. Anyway, it's part of the satanic world. All right? It's all over the place today, and you don't know. You don't realize it. Now, we have moral principles, and people, we've got to stand up for moral principles. Today, you wear a certain dress here and so forth, but is it your conviction? If it isn't your conviction, you don't have that moral principle. If you don't have moral principles, and I mean, you say, well, I have to wear this and I have to wear that, and they make me do this, and they make... Listen, make it your principle. Make it your principle. Understand the why behind it. Understand from God's word that you're a holy vessel, and God wants to use you. And this old body does not have to be flaunted all over before everybody else. It's reserved for one person in marriage. Do you understand? We're living in a terrible time. I just hate it. I walk through the doors. I walk through stores, and my wife has to hold on to me. I said, I see some of this, and I want to go say some words. Then they turn around and they say, well, you don't have to look. Stupidity. Moral principles. And people, you that know the Word of God and are convicted, stand by your principles and don't go back from them. Amen. Don't give up. You stand on moral principles. In your home, you stand on moral principles. And you teach it over and 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 live it before. I gotta move on. You got moral principles now. The next thing after moral principles, you got some things you need to do. The next thing is responsibility. You've got to learn to be responsible with the moral principles of the respected Word of God. You're responsible. Be responsible. You've got to teach that to your children. I mean, simple things like going to your bedroom and pick up your room. Although you got to be more specific. You know, those socks that are on the floor, you pick those up and put them in the dirty wash. You know, the over there, and you know that room, I saw this, it was dusty over there, and you got to be very specific, right? All right? So you've got, I'm just saying, there's responsibility. Go with me to simply Luke chapter 12. All right? These are on the sheet too, but Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. If we can turn there quickly. And Luke chapter 12. Without reading that whole passage there, just simply jump down to verse 8. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Here's what I want you to get. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I put in my Bible, responsibility. Responsibility. You say, we're responsible. You're here. You people are much more responsible. You have much more before God to be responsible with the things of God because of the things you've been taught and you know. See? We've got to teach our children responsibility. 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 There's things we have to do now. Now do them. Do it. Do it. And you got to keep on. Keep on them. They've got a, you see, they've got to realize a track record. You know, when I obey mom and dad and I do what's right, I just feel better. My heart's right. There's a track record being established. When I listen to authority, when I listen to truth, I just feel better. But somehow there's something still in me that wants me to do wrong at times, right? Okay? They've got to understand that also. Now, let's go on here. There's responsibility. Let me just say, if you lay down a responsibility to somebody and you say, this is what I want done, they need to be granted and realize it's a privilege. It's a privilege. If my children wanted to do something and I grant them the privilege to do something, they have to be able to handle the responsibility. Okay? I remember now Lorenda Kriegel. Lorenda is my oldest daughter. When we were at a Christian school, and she wanted to go out to get the mail, and I forget if she was maybe six or something like that, and the mail was by a busy road at the same time. And so I says, hey, there's lots of mail in there, and you have to learn to be responsible with it. And so anyway, I taught her and so forth, and so I stood by the door, and I watched, and she went and got it and so forth. And then that happened a few more times and a few more times. And then she'd come to me and say, Daddy, can you get the mail? And I'd say, okay, go get the mail. And I wouldn't watch. You say, why? Because this is what happened. You see, I give her the responsibility. I give her the privilege to do it. With the privilege comes accountability. Is all the mail here? Is all the mail here? And so forth. And I check it and so forth. Yeah, okay. And then with that, then comes reliability, and after reliability, you can say they're trustworthy. And that's what you want in your children. You want them to be trustworthy. Amen? When they're out of sight, they do what you asked them to do. See? When you're not watching, see, let me give you that again. It's responsibility. If you can handle the responsibility, then I'll give you the privilege. I give you the privilege. I'm going to make you accountable. You're accountable, and you do well. I'm going to look at you, and hey, you're getting to be reliable. And when it happens over and over and over, and they keep doing right, I believe they got the principle down, I can say, that person's trustworthy. Somebody else comes and says, you know, you think Lorenda could come over and do this for me in my home? I say, oh, sure, she could do that. She's trustworthy. You understand? You got to build that. These all concepts point people to Christ. You see, if you want your child to get saved, you can't live a hypocritical life in front of them. Because they're going to say, it didn't work for mom and dad. It won't work for me either. Right? Got it? Okay, we got to keep moving here. And so here, then the next one, after the responsibility, then you build work, a work ethic. A work ethic in their life. They have to learn to work. I can remember years ago at fourth and fifth grade sitting in my dad's store in the back on Saturday morning when all the other kids were out playing because we went to school all week, you know. And now we're sitting in the back bagging up produce, oranges, 2, 4. I could go and get 2 in my hand, 2, 4, 3, and up to 12, twist the bag, put the deal on, put it back in and so forth. And we weren't doing it fast enough one day. And my dad came back and he says, I want this done. I need them out here right now. And son, someday you're going to realize that life is not all play. It's work. I never forgot that. All my brothers are workers, and all my brothers, we've all been successful before God because we learned to work. All the other kids were out playing, and some of the kids I used to play with, one shot somebody and ended up in jail. That's what ended. I'm just saying, my daddy taught me character. Okay? Work. And by the way, the concept of this, if you don't work, you don't eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation. We have a lot of lazy people today. Even though they say they trust Christ as their Savior, do you realize where you've got to take them? They have no character. That's why some people make a decision for Christ, but they never come through in the long run. There's no character. You got to teach them character. You got to teach them character, right? They have to learn to work because in a Christian life, you get saved by God's grace, amen, apart from no works whatsoever. But you know what? To live the Christian life takes a lot of work. You got to learn to say no to sin. You got to learn to say yes to God. You see, it takes work to live the Christian life. It's no lazy game. So we got to teach them to work. I praise God. My dad taught me to work. And then after that comes endurance. Endurance. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for the most you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? That's Christianity. You got to endure. There's endurance you got to go through. And when you as a child, you say, oh, this is work, Dad, and you're complaining and so forth, you ought to be happy because your dad was teaching you to endure. That's what's happening with me on Saturday morning, bagging up those oranges and so forth. We had to work in the store and so forth. I'm so glad for that today. He taught me to work, but he taught me to endure. When the first little problem comes up in your Christian life, are you going to flop over and roll dead? I mean, you know? Or you got some fortitude to stand up and do something, to say no to sin. See? What does it say in James chapter 1 and verse 12? It says there, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Everything that you do ought to come out of your love for God. Your love for God. Then these characteristics flow from a person's life. You see, you got to fall in love with the Lord. Don't fight him. Fall in love with him. Keep on keeping on. Even when it gets tough, you keep on. I heard one of you young men right here, I think, this summer, I said, what'd you do this summer? He told me he had to go down, and for 14 hours, he laid in a crawl space. You ever go down to crawl space? All the spiders and all the cobwebs and so forth. And he had to take tar and paint all the beams down there and so forth. Wow. 14 hours he laid on. That's enduring. That's a lot of hard work, all right? Praise God. It was good for you. It was good for you. When I grew up, we had a lot of hard times that we had to go through. And so forth. My dad was sick, and when I was in third, fourth grade and so forth, had operation. He had a stroke before that. My mother got burned 60% of her body when I was only 4.5 years old. There was years in my life I can't remember. Because I was shipped out all over. By the way, with your bus children, think about them. You cannot begin to understand what these bus kids are going through. Every kid in the family has a different father. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? My heart goes out to them. Wow. And they live in some real tragic, heart-paining, agony situations. Your heart has to go out to them. But listen, you need to be enduring. Enduring, enduring, endure. And because God wants to use you. Quickly here then, the next one. When you get these down, you're going to have a disciplined life. You're going to self-discipline. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Look at here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For what? Doctrine. That teaches you what you ought to be doing. The scriptures are profitable for reproof, for correction, for discipline, to get you turned around to do what's right, to reprove you. The scriptures are there to correct you and to do it right then. And the scriptures are here to instruct you. God not only teaches you what to do, he'll show you how to do it. That's instructions. See? And so we've got to learn to be, and do you see self-discipline there? The scriptures will self-discipline you. The scriptures will give you, show you what to do, will reprove you when you do wrong, will correct you, get you turned around, it'll show you how to do it. And so the scriptures can discipline you. And before you're saved, though, you got self-discipline, right? Now listen to me, self-discipline. And I can tell you a story, you know, one of my boys, When he was 17, he broke truth. In my home, when they broke truth, they always got a licking. I mean a spanking. And I took him into the bathroom. I spoke to him, 17 years old. I forget even what he did now. But he broke truth. And I talked to him about it. And at 17, he's bigger than I am. He's stronger than I am. I said, now bend over. I sat on the stool, and he laid over my knees, and I wailed the tar out of him. And he stood up afterward crying at 17. And he says, Dad, he says, you expect us to be perfect. I says, yes, I do. But I know you can't. But I know somebody who is. Now, he had trusted Christ as his Savior before that. But I want to tell you, within the next 3 months, I saw that boy's life be dedicated to God. He came to school here 1 year. He is now a horse farrier, a very good one. That's putting shoes on horses, trimming, that type of thing, and worked several jobs and so forth, and doing well. But in his own experience, he led his wife, is his wife today, led her to the Lord. But you listen, I look back, and if I wouldn't have spanked the tar out of him right then and disciplined him then to do right, I don't believe he would be where he is today. And you've got to do the same. And you always do it with love. And as much as you have to discipline your child, I mean, when I got done, I was crying with him. But I got to his heart. And you have to get to the child's heart. And you see, these principles here that I'm sharing with you, if you'll practice these seven principles in your life and with your children and instructing your children, I believe these principles drive a person to the Lord. But if you don't practice them yourself and try to teach them, they will rebel and go the other way. You are the problem. It's not so much the child. Now, they have to make their own decisions. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying parents make a big difference. And someday you're going to be a parent, I trust, Lord willing, perhaps, and so forth. So you got to practice these things. Upon finding Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then this self-discipline turns into godly discipline. You see that? When you find Christ as your Savior. Now notice here, and I got to close here. Listen, you see this here? Those are some principles of Christian character. There's a nail down through the middle. And that nail is anchored to truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. And when your child truly repents and realizes that he can't do it, but Jesus Christ can, they'll truly get saved and their life will be changed. Do you understand that? Now, that's something God gave me years ago. I've heard different people preach on character and so forth, but that's what I've tried to do with my family. And I believe it works. I believe it with all my heart. It'll work for you too, because they're God's principles. Do you understand? Now the question is, in closing today, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Is there sin in your life this morning? Have you been breaking truth? Have you not been respecting people the way you ought to? Are you respecting God's word and what he's been trying to tell you to do and you haven't been? Are you breaking moral principles sexually, verbally? With your body, things that you're doing, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm in a Christian school here. Listen, I know where you sit. I know where you sit. You're just as human as I am. Okay? And the devil's trying to try you and try you and try you. But listen, you need to make up your mind on these principles. You get in the pastorate. You get in the mission field. Listen, it's these principles that you're going to reach the world with. Do you understand? You break these principles as a pastor, as a missionary, as a lay person out here, you break these principles, you won't win somebody to Christ. Listen to me, I didn't share it with you. Mike Simmons has been here. Many of you know Mike Simmons. Okay, you know him? He works with me. He's a tremendous fellow in the ministry. He's got a witness. He loves the Lord. And, you know, he went to work for FedEx. And the fellow has three routes. Going to buy, he's buying more, I guess, but anyway. And his boss, he hardly was able to witness to him, but he started working for him. Soon after he started working for him and so forth, his boss got noticed that his wife was going to divorce him. He goes to Mike and says, Mike, I've got to talk to your pastor. How? He hadn't shared the plan of salvation. He wanted to talk to somebody, but he knew that Mike had the character that his pastor, that he was working with this pastor. He came to me, and after a number of times sharing with him so forth, how to get saved. And one Saturday, he came to church then by himself, broke. The church was open. Nobody was there, but he came to the front and then the altar. Anyway, he cried out to the Lord, and he gave his heart to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. He got saved because of Mike's testimony without ever sharing the gospel of salvation with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what life is all about. If we claim Christ as our Savior, our life ought to represent His character. His character has to flow through you. That's the burden the Lord laid on my heart for you. God wants you to magnify Himself through your life. In your family, personal family, let's go back. In your church family, in those born-again people out here that have been saved, and you work with at work or something, you bump in one here and there maybe, and you see them, and they don't go to your church, and they go someplace else, but God's going to use you. The world out here, people who are lost, it's your character they're looking at. And that character can only flow through your lives if you really have Christ in your heart. You see, that's what it's all about. And in closing, I simply want to say, will you dedicate your life to the character of Jesus Christ? Because He is the one that makes all the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, you take this message and use it this morning. Touch these people's lives. Help each one to realize we can hear the truth, but until we make a decision from the heart, nothing's going to change. So I pray that you'll bless this invitation time this morning. God, that people would see these principles, and if they're out of line in their lives, that they'll make a decision to get things right. Maybe they're here this morning and they're just dating, and or maybe they, I don't know where they are exactly, but Lord, someday they're going to have a family. May they dedicate themselves to you anew and afresh to live these principles and to manifest them and teach them to their children. For these are the principles that drive people toward you, Lord Jesus. And the rejection of them will drive people away from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 394. Once again, I surrender all. Give it to Him. Claim these principles. Do God's will. God will bless in your life.